welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing 20XX and Pony Island.
Indeed. There's no theme.
No theme. Zero theme.
zero theming. So Nick, tell me about 20XX.
Sure. So 20XX is a game that's currently on early access on Steam, so it's not fully released. But as an aside to that, they're putting they're using a price model based on that. So it's cheaper as it's further away from release, and so it's getting closer and closer to that $15 price point it will be when it's fully done. And what it is a Mega Man X inspired roguelite action platformer, basically. It looks and plays exactly like you would expect from a Mega Man X clone, but adds in a whole bunch of roguelike elements to keep things fresh and interesting and make you want to play it forever.
Yeah, it is. It's a mashup I haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And not only have I not seen it mixed with roguelike elements, but I haven't seen too many things like take inspiration from Mega Man X. And we've had we did Castle in the Darkness, which has some like Mega Man like properties.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely played some games that have a little bit of Mega Man in them, but Mega Man X is a really particular kind of aesthetic. And
yeah.
Kind of big boots, big armbands. You know, like there's a color palette to this that is very, very similar.
Yeah.
And
the sprite style itself is very much of the SNES Mega Man X games, which there's that Mighty No. 9 game from the actual original designer. But that's not taking really the art, not quite the same art style. It's like a 3D, 2D, 2.5D platformer.
Yeah, and this is purely 2D. And it also takes the characters. So you can play a character that is a lady who is a lot like Mega Man,
mm-hmm.
or a guy who is like Zero, who uses a sword.
Nina and Ace, respectively.
Yes. And it is pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, it's procedurally generated levels.
Mm-hmm.
You head to the right and do Mega Man X shit and fight bosses. There's some kind of cool little bits where like you have persistent, you like Isaac, you don't upgrade your character. You increase the chances of, so you have two options with, your kind of currency that you get at the end of every level. You can increase the chance of a power up showing up,
mm-hmm.
or you can, buy a power up just for the next run. So it kind of encourages kind of marathon play to get further into it, because you'll get a little bit far in, you'll have a bunch of money to buy some shit to make your next run more powerful, to get a little bit more, further in. The kind of remarkable thing, the cool thing about this, I think, is the really effortless co-op. It has couch and online co-op that is very easy, just to kind of drop in with your friends,
mm-hmm.
and plays really well that way.
Awesome. Yeah, I need to check out the co-op mode still. I'm assuming I'm probably going to be more interested in this game when it comes out in the full release, or at least give it more time. To be honest, Mega Man's never been my forte. I've always been really bad at Mega Man games.
That's a nice pun you just made on accident, where it's like Mega Man and forte, yeah.
Yep.
And the forte and bass.
Yep.
It's hard, and this is harder than Mega Man X.
Yeah, for sure.
It reminds me of like a lot of times when we do these roguelike kind of games, they fall into a weird trap where like I just feel like there isn't enough health that's dropped.
Yeah.
And it's like obviously Isaac is the gold standard for anything that has even Rogue even close to it. Like I like Isaac more than I like Rogue. it's like Isaac is very generous with health drops, so like even on a bad run, you can get a bit further in. This is very stingy with health drops, stingier than Mega Man X is.
Yeah.
So it makes it just kind of like, I've fought three bosses in this. Mm. I've never gotten close to the end game, and that was doing co-op, doing the easy mode, which lets you start with three upgrades of your choosing.
Right.
I've spent a decent amount of time with it and never gotten more than three bosses in, because I just get whittled down.
Yep.
You don't get a health refresh at the end of the level. All these things that like makes it encouraging to me that it's in early access, because they could really kind of tune that a little bit and make it feel closer to the source material and really work.
Right.
I think.
So talking a little bit about how the roguelike elements fit in, essentially after every boss, you get a choice of three upgrades, one of which tends to be a weapon upgrade, or actually another weapon, essentially.
From the boss.
From like the Mega boss, Man. Yeah. It's themed after the boss. But you don't have to. You can, if you already have... You have four slots basically to hold your alternate attack types, and if you already have the four you've been gunning for, but that would require you to defeat four bosses, then you would safely ignore that and choose one of the other two random picks that will also be available to you.
Yeah, so I don't know if those other picks are random. I think that they are a health or an energy related power up or a health related power up. You can choose which one you want. One of the things I found also that's like a minor balancing thing is, I don't know if this is true when you played it, but I didn't spend too much time playing with the special weapons. Like my Mega Buster tended to be fine for the parts I was getting to. So a lot of the getting energy related power ups was kind of a bummer. And they have, there are many more of them, it seems, than there are health or just kind of general statistical ability upgrades. So like, you know, I would get through a level, it'd be really hard. And at the end I could choose, you know, one of my options or one of the drops for, like, there are these challenge rooms where they give you a restriction and you have to get through the room. And if you follow the restrictions, you get a treasure box. And I would get something that was like, oh, health are converted to energy. And it's like, no, I don't need more energy. I never use this thing. I just need more health. And that ended up being the problem kind of consistently. I don't know if you used more of the sub-weapons, but to me, they weren't, again, just not enough drops to keep them useful. And even once I got the power-up items or the items that made them more useful, it still wasn't useful enough to use over my Mega Buster.
Yeah, I found a couple that were pretty fun to use. And like, I, you know, I tried to use them to the extent that energy allowed for. But yeah, spending the money to get more energy so that I could use it more often was never worthwhile over over health. But, you know, we're both, you know, fresh to the game. It could be people who are new to Isaac, I'm sure, have more trouble with health than you or I would. So it could be that we're just not as good as this game as is hoping it out of us so far.
Yeah, it's meant to be, you know, we're supposed to kind of do more iterations.
Yeah.
And I definitely put some decent time into it, but I didn't, like I said, I never beat it or anything. So I don't know what the final bosses are. I got two bosses.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten to a third boss. So you got even further than I did.
Yeah. And the bosses that you choose from the at the end are random as well. The stages are laid out randomly too. And this is one of the first time I've seen like side-scrolling stages randomly laid out. And they do a good job. There's a couple of weird little things that feel like the procedural. Like at the end, there'll be a teleporter that doesn't really teleport you anywhere.
Yeah.
And it feels random. But for the most part, it does a pretty good job of upping the, having kind of modular difficulty. Like a good example is there's a forge level, a forge kind of biome that you can find and there are moving platforms. And I did a run where I got the forge biome on my first boss and then also on my third. And the difference is they add little like flame, little white flames on the corners of the platforms. So reducing the area that you can land on the platform safely.
Oh, that's cool. I have seen like fighting in two different runs. I fought like a boss as my first level and then a boss as my second level, you know, the same boss. And it's definitely obvious that they kind of up the difficulty each time if you encounter them later in the game than if at the beginning. So
yeah,
I don't remember which one it was, but it was like way harder the second time around than the first time.
And that's one of the kind of bummers too. Like if they're, I don't know if this is something they're going to fix. It's just going to have to be something that you have to be okay with to dig this game. Is that the bosses don't have the kind of personality that Mega Man X or Isaac does.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't tell you what any of the bosses' names are, or barely even what they are. Like they're just robots that have kind of bullet hell patterns and move around the screen.
Right.
Like they're not terrible fights or anything, but they're not very unique. Like it's hard for me to imagine somebody doing fan art of like, this is the penguin, you know, from one of the levels of 20XX.
Yeah.
But it's like it's still fun. Like I had fun with it, and it's really fun co-op. You know, it doesn't seem to change the difficult or the balance that much, that I could see, other than kind of, I think they probably just balance it with scarcity of resources,
but, makes sense. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's effortless. Like you just click on and then you guys are playing together and you guys can get into a level in less than a minute and it plays really well.
That's pretty rad. I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out in the future. So yeah,
pretty cool. Like I dig it. You know, and if it sounds like something you dig, I like the way they're doing their early access model as well.
Yeah.
Where like it is cheaper because you're getting less of a product, but you can get in on the ground floor and actually get the final product for a discount.
Right.
By supporting them on the way there. That's a cool way to do it. And not very many games do that.
And it seems like just following the updates and stuff, they seem to be doing fairly substantial updates on the regular. So, I was just looking that they did one, yesterday as of recording this, that, they did a rework of of two of the bosses. I think, you know, their artwork and attacks and stuff just kind of freshen them up a bit. So, it's neat that they're consistently putting out stuff and keeping the people who have put some money up already, keeping them in play.
They actually say in their fact that they update the game every 2 weeks.
Excellent.
And they will keep doing so until it's done. So once they've done the last update, it's done. But as long as there's stuff to update, they will update literally every 2 weeks, according to them. So pretty rad. I don't know if we said these guys' names. It's Battery Staple Games.
Yeah, as far as I know, this is the first name they've done. But
yeah.
And good job, guys.
It's been out for a while, too. Originally came out on November 25th, 2014. But it's just something that's been on my radar for a long time. And my understanding is it didn't get kind of really closer to feature complete or feature robust until recently. Right. So yeah, good job, guys. I'm interested in this. I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. So let's get into Pony Island.
Yeah. Pony Island will have a spoiler section.
Yeah, we'll throw a spoiler section at the end because this is kind of a plot-based game.
It is a plot-based game, but we should say, though, that the even the advertising and the trailer gives away that there's something else going on. Okay. So we don't have to, like, tiptoe around too much. If you watch the trailer on Steam, you know that, like, something crazy is going on.
Yeah, and it pretty much gets that way from the get-go in the game, too. Like,
yes.
This isn't anything like, you know, super hot or the Bubsy 3D games where we played along at the start and then spoiler sections when we broke the fourth wall there.
Yeah, this game does that right away.
Yep. So Pony Island, it was released by Daniel Mullins Games. Obviously he's the designer of the game, and it was released January 4th of 2016 on the three major PCOSs.
Mm-hmm.
Available on Steam. Single player game, and the core gameplay, I would say, is this very basic runner style game where you don't have to, you know, your character's just constantly moving to the right and you just have to dodge obstacles or shoot at incoming projectiles.
Yes. It's the part of like one of those 48-hour like Ludum Dare game jam things.
Right.
And it feels like it. And the theme of that game jam was the entire game is on one screen. So you can't have scrolling kind of screens. This does a little bit of scrolling a little bit later, but you can tell that it kind of is featured mm-hmm. from that. Before we get too far, Cole Ross bought me this, so thank you, Cole. Just, you know, he's like, hey, I think you'd like this, and I did. And this game does this. It explores every possible iteration, the same way like Uzumaki explores every way a spiral can be scary. This does everything you can possibly do with a endless runner about jumping things that you control with two mouse buttons.
Right.
And the mouse. Like it does as many variations as that as possible. If it only did that, it would be terrible. it would be not worth playing. But that's not the point at all.
Right. And in particular, it seems to, you know, kind of revolve around this theme of a game in development.
Yes, it is. It's similar. It kind of runs in similar themes to Undertale meets Magic Circle a little bit.
Yeah.
Where like you are in the so once things get weird, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about the details of that a little bit more, but things do get weird. You are kind of working to break the game from within the game.
Yeah.
Similar to Magic Circle. But I would say I like the Magic Circle. In some ways, this is more successful in that you are getting down into the coding mm-hmm. of it in a weird kind of way, like finding corrupted files, finding older versions of the game. It's very antagonistic.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to delete a game or break a game that doesn't want to be broken. And that's really cool. So like other than the endless runner parts, the other mechanical part are these puzzles, these coding puzzles.
Right.
Where you manipulate these elements like, arrows that are just like where the highlighter goes, or things that are like go to line 10, etc. You have conditions to fulfill, and you just kind of move these blocks around to get the desired result. And then the final kind of game type is really hard to kind of explain because it's kind of exploring these OSs.
Yeah.
It does a lot of weird stuff with your user interface
mm-hmm.
in a way I really like.
So yeah, there's things like switching between different user profiles to access files that aren't accessible in the one that you're logged into originally, but first you have to get the password to this profile. And yeah, so there's a lot of digging around kind of the operating system of this Pony arcade cabinet.
Yeah, and even down to like you said, finding the different user profiles, but even down to like a deeper level than that, like getting into the code, getting into finding things with the literal UI,
mm-hmm.
like the menu itself will become a manipulatable game object, you know, things like that. They do really cool shit like that without getting into too many specifics. Like if that's a thing that's interesting to you, which is something I like that's my, you know, was the weird kind of meta stuff was my favorite thing about Undertale. It was, you know, my favorite thing about the non heartbreaking parts of the Magic Circle, like was that literally like getting in and digging in the guts. Like this is a really good example of that. And it's more impressive, or it's like super impressive. That's one dude.
Yeah.
Like this is a $5 game. That is one guy that is like really like ambitious and cool and succeeds. And like the last like 45 minutes or half hour of the game is like this awesome mind fuck that I really, really like.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this game. But I think that's probably all we want to say before we get into some actual spoilery stuff. So this is shaping up to be a shorter episode.
That's okay. We've got a couple of real long ones.
Yeah, and probably I think the next one will probably also be somewhat of a shorter episode too.
Yes.
This is kind of some admin stuff, but I believe, you know, you're going to have Dark Souls coming up here soon. I'm going to want to play some of that too, and we'll probably be jumping into some more ambitious, bigger games soon. So
yeah, some more single episodes.
Yeah, this is us getting ahead of the curve a bit. So into the regular admin stuff. You guys know you can find us on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or Twitter at Comrade Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can, if you want to support the podcast network financially, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And that's a big help. If you donate $2 a month, you can join our Slack channel and talk to us there. That's a good place to talk about the games we do and suggest games. If you donate $6 a month, you get a bonus episode of Abject Suffering per month. Mm-hmm. And then regardless of how much you donate, you get the warm, fuzzy feeling of helping out the network because it is still appreciated. You're running the yep. network isn't free. We have our second live show. We're just about to announce where that is for Watch Out for Fireballs.
Sweet.
So we're going to announce where that is very soon. We probably will have announced on social media by the time this episode comes out. And that's the reason why we can afford that airfare and hotel and all that jazz is because of this. So it is really appreciated.
Yeah, our community is the best. And if you aren't interacting with us on that level, then please do so because we love all you guys.
And this is the first episode we've recorded post Duck Spring. But
yeah,
real quick shout out to the Duck Spring crew. This is members of the community with very little help from me or Cole, other than kind of like setting up some backend admin stuff. And I did a very brief stint on the live stream, but raised some money for Transactive, turning our yearly event into a potentially twice a year event. Raised almost $1,800. For mm-hmm. For Transactive, bringing our 18-month total to about $8,000,
awesome.
Which is amazing. We're finally gonna be able to take down OHSU yeah. in the helping out Transactive awards.
It was also just a great stream. Like I popped in here and there throughout the weekend, and there's just a great bunch of people doing a whole bunch of games.
Oh, totally! And like huge variety and stuff. Yeah. And for the future, like whether we do this twice a year or we then the fall one to have more involvement mm-hmm. From people, like we have to figure out what we'll do going forward with this, but it's very like way more successful than, you know, just because I was thinking, I knew it would be successful because the community is very kind and because it is such a great cause, but it was more successful than I thought, and yeah. I'm very, very proud of those people, and I'm very happy that like really good people like to listen to me make dick jokes. So it's very, if I can claim any responsibility for bringing those people together, which I'm not saying I necessarily can, like they were good people before I came along, but if I can claim any of that responsibility, I'm very very proud.
Yeah.
So good job.
Yeah. Good job Duck Spring. You guys were amazing. Yeah.
So very, very good job. We have some brief admin stuff, and then some brief music, and then we'll be back with a little bit of what happens on Pony Island.
Yep.
Ponies.
Yeah. So right off the bat, man, this game gets into its meta stuff.
Right off the Batman v Superman, dawn of spoilers.
Dawn this of game. Shitty movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm trying to like think of all the different meta aspects, right? And like I think right at the beginning, the main menu to the game doesn't work until you dig into the options and check like fix main menu.
Yeah, it's presented as like a broken, buggy piece of game, which is a weird way that like it wouldn't work if this were higher budget. Right?
Oh, no.
Like if this were made by a big team, even if they were a big indie team, like if this were the result of like a huge Kickstarter or something like that,
yeah.
You wouldn't believe it. Like it does a really good job of taking its kind of humble beginnings and weaponizing it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's awesome. Like I love that. Like it's like, oh, like, I mean, I wasn't fooled because I knew something else would be going on, but like,
of course.
It is plausible that the game can be buggy in the way that it presents itself as. And the fact that every weird buggy thing that happens is intentional is super cool.
Yeah, I think the other thing I discovered kind of right off the bat was digging through the same options menu, there's a button for a free ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that throughout the game, there's kind of all these little hidden secret bits that will grant you tickets. And I assume something happens if you manage to get them all, but some of them are very well hidden.
Yes, there's 24 of them. That's how you get the true ending.
Yeah.
Which I did not get. I think I have 8 tickets. So I got about
Mine's probably about a
third of them. You know, just kind of doing a normal playthrough of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, that's, but the, in the fiction, Pony Island is a ticket game at a, like a Dave and Buster's or something.
Yeah. Except also kind of like after you're dead.
Yes. It's this weird, like, yeah, you die and you're trapped playing this because there's no one else in the arcade. And
right.
There are these flashbacks you get to like a church, which I can only assume is like your funeral.
Yes. Right?
So like this is a weird kind of purgatory or hell, is the way it's presented. And like
yes.
At first it's like, it's not scary.
No.
Right. Because there's nothing scary about the devil. I've talked about that on shows before. Like I don't find Satan particularly scary, but it's kind of it's cool because it doesn't, it's like, it takes itself serious. Like, it hits a tone that I like a lot where it doesn't take itself very seriously, but it isn't like entirely jokes.
Right.
Like, there are funny jokes in it, but it's not constantly trying to make you laugh.
No.
You know, it's not being scary, but it is being kind of serious in a weird way. That is really neat. You know, and there are legitimately like laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, in it. Absolutely. And some of the most clever kind of metagame stuff.
100%. Like, just calling out a couple favorites without going through all of them. The Steam Messenger thing.
Jesus, that got me so good.
Like, that's so good. Like, the final or the second to last boss fight, and it's actually the last real boss fight, is like a quiz. It's like a text-based thing. And there are all these little like weird things it does. But one of the things he does is like, you know, this isn't quizzed or this isn't graded, just type something disgusting. And you type something disgusting. And then it kind of tricks you into thinking you had like a Steam window open at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Or that it's presenting this, because a Steam friend thing will pop up and say, dude, did you get hacked? Like,
yeah,
is that really what you're typing?
What I thought was that it changed my Steam name to whatever I put.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can just change your Steam name on a whim, right? So I thought someone was messaging me, and it changed my name to whatever I typed in. Which, by the way, I typed in Asmodeus. So
okay.
So it just came up, and one of my friends on my Steam list, it looked just like he messaged me. That same pop up in the corner.
It's super cool. Like, and during that time, there were also like email notification noises.
Yeah.
Because it's the way the boss presents it is like a staring contest. Like, he's like, you need to stick with me. You can't leave, you know, keep looking at this icon the entire time. And it does a bunch of different things to try to distract you from that, and getting you to try to alt tab out is like super clever by fucking with your interface of your computer. Really, I was surprised my disk drive didn't open on my computer. You know, like these classic, like you know, Pepsi tray.exe or whatever, the old late 90s compact presario trick. But like it does a bunch of shit like that is like great. I love that. I have a limitless appetite for that.
Yeah, me too. That
I liked it in Superhot, where you had to like shut down the game and restart it. Like, I like all that stuff.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten sick of that.
This game does that to you too. Actually, it makes it like force closes itself at some point.
Yeah, yeah, it will force close itself, and you have to continue. It also has a way that you can kind of get stuck in a like it emulates a kind of incursion loop where you're starting the game from within the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up starting over and just continuing back to the spot before you decided to start the game from within the game. Really, really cool shit like that. I really like. I love the old versions of the game.
Yeah,
like,
those are so good.
Like the weird, like shitty 3D version, and then the text-based version, which is like, it's still an endless runner. So it's like you're coming towards an obstacle. Do you jump, shoot, or do nothing? You know, and there are actually little puzzles in it.
Yeah, there's one of them where it's like there's a barrier, but it's off at a distance somewhat, and you have to say like do nothing. And it's like you pat yourself on the back for waiting.
Yeah,
it's coming closer, and then you have to jump at that point.
And then at the end, you jump up and hit the the pole at the end and break your neck. And it says like that pony died. Don't worry, you're no longer that pony, which I really like. The core mechanic, the thing you spend the puzzle parts I was way into, meta stuff I was way into, the actual endless runner parts I got frustrated with a couple times. Most seriously during the second to last segment of that, before you fight Asmodeus, the penultimate boss.
Yeah,
because it is it's kind of hard for what that is, and there's about 15 seconds of just running where nothing really happens before you can fail, where you jump over a couple of barriers, which is really easy. So whenever you die or do something wrong, you have to start at the beginning. So I did that a bunch of times, and it was actually kind of frustrating.
Is the penultimate one the one where there's butterflies you need to not hit?
It's in that zone. It's one of the later ones where there are butterflies where you don't need to not hit, and you fight a wizard with two butterflies that you need to not hit. They're spiraling him.
That is definitely the worst of the of the ones.
That's it was hard, and actually I got like pretty annoyed. And I think the idea is that like, you know, I'm stuck in a purgatory, like this is supposed to be hell. But I actually got legitimately annoyed during it. But like the game, I mean, it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's like 3 hours or you know, or something like that. It's like it goes by really, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, moves by really quickly. You get a complete story that is full of these weird little tricks. And if you like tricks, like you'll dig it, I think.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of it. I want to see some more, like, I just want to see some more short games like this that do just cool stuff briefly and tell a little story and be done with it. Like, that Portal point of games where it's just like, this is essentially an extended movie that is incredibly fun and interactive. is something that more games need to aim to hit.
100%. Like we're doing Portal and Portal 2 for Watch Out for Fireballs now. So I just replayed Portal, and I just replayed Portal 2, and Portal 2 is an amazing game, and it just has a middle part that sags a little bit. If you cut that out, it would be like Portal 1, which is perfect.
Yeah, like Portal 2 feels like three portals back to back.
And it's still a great game. Like it holds up 100%. If you replay it, it's very good. But it's not Portal 1, which is literally perfect. Like you just play this in an afternoon, you're done, you get a complete story that is funny and charming and inventive, and then you're out. Like just fully explore one game mechanic, do it perfectly, and get the fuck out. You know, and that's such a cool, that's what Superhot did too. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 hours, we fully explored this one game mechanic and got out. You know, like I really appreciate that, and I'm down with paying money for that. Like the amount of, like, it just feels good. Like the comparisons, like with Pony Island is a different game. Tony Hawk's Pro Island. I was thinking about it in terms of Undertale, not to bring that up again because you bring it up all the time, but like I had more fun. I don't think this is a better game, but I had more fun with it because it's not 10 hours long and expect you to beat it three times to get the full ending.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, this is 2 hours long. You get the complete experience. You get like a taste of that weird meta shit, but they don't hide it behind tedious nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like nothing, that like you had that one, there's like one segment that was annoying to me in this game. And I just kind of pushed through it. It wasn't a big deal. It didn't feel antagonistic. It just felt like a mistake, like, which was like kind of understandable. Like that probably could have been a little easier. But other than that, like, it just, you get in and get out, and I just like didn't have time to resent it, you know? So what I'm remembering is all the cool shit. I'm not going back and thinking back on the stuff that was annoying.
Yeah.
You know, the highlights are what's in my highlight reel.
I think especially just kind of the indie scene needs to get a better grasp on that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, plenty of games do it, right? Cause like we did,
of course,
The Beginner's Guide does that. Like, mm-hmm. there are a lot of games that just get in and get out and explore one kind of idea, but I'm so on board for that. Like, I'm so on board for that. I was going to say, like, there should be a podcast, but like our friends, like Reagan Kelly does, The Short Game, which does that, and just concentrates on short games, like games you can beat in a weekend is kind of the log line, which is really good. But I kind of even want shorter than that. Like I'm way into 2 to 3 hours, like a movie. It's like, yeah, I want to see credits tonight. I want to sit down, start a game, see credits tonight, and have a complete experience that fully explores something. And that's so good.
Like it takes away that, like, sometimes I have a hard time starting a game that I know is going to be involved just because mm-hmm. I know, like, well, fuck, okay, well, tonight I can get through the tutorial but not actually do anything fun.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that happens all the time with, like, especially as somebody who likes big, fuck off Western RPGs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always going to be the thing.
Yeah, you know, like, and I don't want those to go away by any means.
No, but I this the weird kind of middle section where, like, I mean, I guess this is just editing in general, right? Like, it's not specific to games, but like, cut out the parts of your games that don't add very much,
right?
And even if that makes it short, like, some, I mean, I guess, you know, that's if you want to please me, because some people are going to complain about that too. Mm-hmm. But it, like, I'm looking at my backdrop on my computer, which is that scene from The Last Door, and The Last Door is like every one of those episodes is really short too. Like,
yeah,
I'm just. This is very appealing to me. And as I get older, like, that's where I want my indie stuff, you know?
Yeah. It seems to be that most of the games I play the most are either, like, games that I tend to like the most are either that's how long they are or that's how long a playthrough is.
Yes. Yeah. That's a set. You get a complete experience.
Right.
You know, and like, I don't mind breaking things up for bigger kind of experiences, but I have a limited bandwidth for that. Not an unlimited one.
Yeah.
So like in every given time, I can have like a Dark Souls running, or I can have a big Western RPG running. But I'm sitting down, like, it's hard for me to want to sit down and play like an indie game that I know is going to be 20 hours long.
Yeah.
If I don't feel like every one of those hours is really needed, you know, and I think that like episodic stuff is a really good choice for that too. Cause I'll sit down and play a Telltale episode or something like that. I really want to play Life is Strange. I haven't played that yet, but that will work for me too. Cause it's like, it's a chapter. And just having those demarcations, I think, is really appealing.
Yeah, the episodic model is difficult to do for other reasons, but
yes.
The actual playing of them, it getting chunked up like that, when you manage to make each of those chunks a complete experience, tends to be super rewarding.
Yeah, Yeah, and it was it works even on ones that are like not very good. Like I played through the Telltale Game of Thrones game, which is not that great, but every one of them ends with a cliffhanger that makes you want to play the next one.
Right.
So it's like I would sit down for an evening, like watch my movie, you know, play through an episode of it, and then I would look forward to the next day because I knew what was gonna. I was like, oh shit, something crazy is gonna happen. You know, yeah. Like I want to see what this person, this villain, get killed. You know, because it's Game of Thrones. you know, and that just I don't know. That's just kind of where I've been leaning, and there's space for the middle too, but I feel like there's just been a couple too many times where I played things that are kind of saggy in that respect, mm-hmm. and just like not paced super well.
Yeah.
So anywho, this game is paced very well, and I think it's like $5. Like this is totally worth your time. If you listen this far, we haven't spoiled all of it. Like there's plenty to kind of figure out, and I think you'll dig it.
Absolutely.
So good on you, Daniel Mullins.
Yeah, good job. I'm looking forward to see what else he puts out too.
Me too. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, take care.